From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made at the Tony Awards in 1998. One musical swept the major categories: best musical, best direction, choreography, scenery, costumes, lighting. That was Disney's The Lion King. And if you're a Rochesterian, you almost certainly know that the choreographer who created those movements was the great Garth Fagan. Over the past five decades, we could have chosen so many moments to highlight. Sweeping the Tonys was probably the biggest critical distinction for Garth Fagan. Certainly for many people who are not avid dance fans, you probably know that story. It's a great one, but there's so much more to this company. They are celebrating 50 years and moving ahead with plans for season 51. They've got ambitious plans for fall and winter, well into 2022, and they have been hanging in throughout this pandemic to continue to build and fulfill the mission. This hour, we sit down with the executive director of Garth Fagan Dance, and don't you know it, I almost introduced it as Garth Ferguson Dance. Bill Ferguson.
Garth, no, we don't want to get in that kind of trouble.
I literally almost introduced it as 50 years of Garth Ferguson. It's Garth Fagan, but Bill Ferguson, executive director. Great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you, Evan. Great to be here. Always good to sit down here, be in here, and have a conversation with you.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Very excited about the new season at the theater at Innovation Square. Garth Fagan Dance is coming back downtown. And as much as we're going to be giving you our 50th anniversary season, we got a whole new crop of dancers. You're going to see some of our perennial favorites like Prelude, and you'll see PJ Norwood Pennywell's new piece called Dreamers with music by Baljinder Sikkone, which we premiered at the Eastman Theater on October 1st with the Eastman Percussion Ensemble and the Eastman Saxophone Project. So that's a really wonderful collaboration that we had to open out our season this year.
Now, there's so much to talk about this hour, but I want to start with where you are with the theater in Innovation Square, the importance of being downtown. People who have not been to that space, it's Clinton and Court, right? It's right there.
When we were figuring out the press release, there's a 100 Clinton Street address, and then there's a 131 Chestnut Street address. So it's right at the corner of Clinton, Court, and Chestnut Street.
There you go.
Okay.
That's Innovation Square.
Innovation Square.
And the theater there, what's the space like?
The space is wonderful. It's very intimate. It's very intimate, which I think is lovely for Garth Fagan Dance. Because whenever people are in our studio, which is right across the street, people talk about how wonderful it is to be up close to the dancers and, you know, maybe get a little drop of sweat on you here and there and, and see the dancers go through Fagan technique, go through PJ and Garth's choreography. And you see a little bit of the work there, a little bit of the work. But if we're doing it right, you'll be amazed at how wonderful, how easy it looks.
Yeah, when you talk about the choreography, I mean, this is out of my element. So I'm going to defer to your expertise here. But for the lay public, is there a quote-unquote Garth Fagan style of dance?
There's a Garth Fagan technique.
Technique.
We do a technique similar to like a Graham technique or a Horton technique. Graham and Horton are modern dance techniques, modern dance languages. There's ballet techniques, there's Verganova, there's Cicchetti, there's the English style of ballet techniques. I like to think that Garth's technique is the foremost universal technique being studied right now, and it's only being studied here in Rochester, New York. All the best things of every kind of dance has been synthesized, and I have a hard time saying that word sometimes. I got to make sure my teeth are dry. Synthesized into Fagan technique. There are a lot of times when you see dance where people talk about how it's African and jazz and ballet, but more often than not, you see an African movement, a jazz movement, and a ballet movement. And Fagan technique, you get the synthesization of those types of movement and this new type of movement called Fagan technique.
Okay. And do you think you could I mean, like, if you went to see a performance and you didn't know anything about it, and you're sitting in the audience, would you be able to go, wait, we're seeing a Fagan piece here?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I think it's more like if you're if you've seen dance before, you've seen Dancing with the Stars, or you've seen some ballet, or you see some modern dance, and then you go see a Fagan performance, or you see a Fagan piece within a program of dances, you'll see how unique our technique is. But at the same time, there's a familiarity about it. There's something about it that's very rooted and classic, but it's also very new. So that way we touch you, the technique touches you inside and has you understanding it before you recognize that you understand it. And then when you recognize that you've been touched, then there's a whole reciprocal thing going on between the dance and you when you come and view us.
Talking to Bill Ferguson, executive director of Garth Fagan Dance. And in a moment, we're going to talk about the schedule of what's coming up here and what you want people to know and what they can see and attend. But before we even get there, there were different companies throughout the art world in the last year and a half, 2 years that have been really stretched. Some shut down. Some have found a way to forge ahead despite the pandemic. What's it been like for you?
It's been all of those things. It's been very tough. It's been very tough. At the beginning of the pandemic, we were fortunate to get the PPP loan, and that carried us for about 3 months. I don't know how it worked out, right into the beginning of our new fiscal year. So, and then June 30th of 2020, we had to put the artistic staff on furlough to keep the company alive. So between July 1st of 2020 and April 19th of 2021, the company performed one time for the New York Pops Up event that we staged at RIT. Other than that, the company was on. There were two people working for the company all that time.
Wow,
it was very difficult. It was paralyzing, to be honest.
Were there moments where you thought, you know, I don't know if we're going to get to the other side of this thing?
Oh yeah. But fortunately, having worked with Garth for the last 32 years, you know, I've seen Garth. I've never heard Garth say, "Oh, I don't know if we're going to make it." But every time where I thought, I don't know if we're going to make it, Garth was like, forge forward, keep moving forward.
Is that just because he's so happily, naively optimistic?
I say there's nothing naive about Garth. There's nothing naive about Garth. Garth is because Garth has a vision in his mind of what he wants so that he's going to take the steps towards it regardless of the obstacles that are before him. He'll find a way over it, through it, around it, under it, transform the obstacle so that it will work for him.
I always wonder about people whose names are on companies about, you know, as they get older, do they want to sort of stay involved? Next week on this program, we're going to talk to a man who I know very well, who was just named by Wine Enthusiast Magazine as the International Winemaker of the Year. It's Fred Merworth down at Herman J. Weimer. In the Finger Lakes. An incredible honor for a Finger Lakes winery to have the winemaker of the year, and well-deserved. I happen to know, you know, Herman, I wrote about him years ago, and I know he pops in here and there to the winery mm-hmm. to kind of check on things, but when he retired, he retired. I mean, he cares. He'll pop in and out, but he's really taken his hands off the wheel, even though his name will always be on that winery. Mm-hmm. Garth Fagan Dance will probably always be the name of this company, right?
Yes.
How involved does Garth want to be going forward?
As involved as Garth wants to be going forward. I'll say that. There are a lot of things, you know, over the last, I guess, the last five years, Norwood Pennywell has been running the artistic staff. Natalie Rogers has been running the school. And I've been assisting Garth with the business of the company. And over the last 5 years, as Garth has gained trust in all of us, he's released us more. He's stepped back more sure. rather than released us more. So he's willing to let us make mistakes as well as learn from our mistakes and move forward. You know, he wants to see us take this to the next place.
You get nervous when he's watching a performance?
Not so much when he's watching the performance, because by then...
Yeah, he knows it, sure.
Yeah, I mean, all of my stuff, I'm in the administrative thing, although I danced for my first 20 years with the company. Once we're in performance, it's too late for anything.
Yeah, fair.
It's really too late for anything.
You get nervous when he sees, the early iterations of a piece.
I don't get nervous, no. No, with the choreography... The choreography, while PJ, Natalie, and I and some other dancers have a great understanding of where Garth is coming from with the choreography, we would say every year when Garth would start a new piece, we're like, okay, well, he did this last year. He did this the year before. He did this the year before. He did this the year before that. So we got, okay, we're looking at the last 5 years. Some of that is going to be in here, but the way I see Garth works is everything that he did the year before is developmental to what he's doing now. So while what he's choreographing now is going to be a completely different thing, everything we did before it will serve his new movement.
Garth Fagan's 50th year. It's really, is it 50 or 51 now, Bill? What do you say?
Okay, it was 51 on November 15th.
Officially.
Officially. Our official birthday is November 15th.
Because this is a 1970 official launching of the company.
Correct.
Right.
In Buffalo, for those of you who remember, their first performance was in Buffalo. And if anybody who remembers that performance, Bill at Garth Fagan Dance, give me a call at the studio. I'd love to sit down and talk with you about it. Because one of the things we're doing with WXXI is shooting a 50th anniversary retrospective. So... I had big plans for that coming into 2020 because we opened 2020 with a wonderful performance with the RPO at the Eastman Theater, which was not only an artistic success, it was a financial success. And in today's nonprofit world, anytime you get a financial success combined with an artistic success, it's something to be lauded. But then COVID hit in March. You know, we had planned to be at the Rochester International Jazz Festival with Monty Alexander, that fell to the wayside. And all of the performances that we had for 2020, we're looking to put into place for 2022.
For 2022. That Jazz Fest performance, just for example, Bill, is that something that you can't reschedule? Is that something that could come back?
It's something that could come back. It's something that it's going to come back. And what we're going to, the plans are that we're going to do some wonderful performances here in Rochester in places and ways that Rochester hasn't seen before. It's time for us to really honor the vision of Garth Fagan Dance and get some of those big things happening that he wanted to see.
I will say, I mean, WXXI is proud to be putting this retrospective together. And also, I hope, looking ahead. I mean, there's an ambitious plan to grow and thrive with this company. But boy, it would be fun to talk to people who were at that first performance in Buffalo in 1970.
Oh, you know, it'd be very nice. One of the things that, since we've been doing the film and since the company has started up again, is that I've gotten an opportunity to speak to a lot of people about Garth Fagan Dance and what Garth Fagan Dance means to them when they first saw Garth Fagan Dance and how it changed their lives. You know, and it's really every time I have a conversation with somebody, it puts another piece of the puzzle together in this grand puzzle that we're building that's going to be the future of Garth Fagan Dance.
It's a big year. 50 years celebrated officially last year, and this season they are forging ahead with so much of what was planned and put on hold by the pandemic. Let's talk about that. In a moment, we're going to talk about what's coming up in the near future, but I got to ask you, you're performing at Malik Evans's inaugural, is that right?
Yes, Garth Fagan Dance will have a presence at Malik Evans's inaugural ball, January 1st.
New Year's Day.
New Year's Day.
How well do you know the mayor-elect?
I know him pretty good. You know, our kids went to school together. You know, we've gone to hung out a little bit together. Malik's a great guy. Malik's a great guy. There's no better person right now to be the head of Rochester and to take us to the next place.
This is not a very journalistic thing of me to say, but I'll just say.
Oh, be careful!
No! I'm I'm trying to be straightforward here.
Okay.
It is hard for me to envision a scandal in a Malik Evans administration. People can talk about how effective governance is, choices you make, policies you pursue, but a scandal is hard to envision. He's so serious. He's so committed to the work. He just came through a political campaign where he ignored everybody who was telling him to do, hey, be less boring, be more exciting, attack more. He's going, I got this. I know what I'm doing. And I think at this point he's earned the right to come in and do the work, and we'll see, right?
Definitely. Well, he's done the work to get here.
Absolutely.
I mean, from a young age, when a lot of us were out running the streets and you know, pulling our hair and doing wild and crazy things, Malik had already settled down, you know, and was doing some real things for our city. So, you know, more power to him. I think he is everything that he's done has led him to now. And I think his dreams of what else is there is only going to astound everybody as we go forward.
Yeah, and I only look, I'll be clear. If there's a scandal, we're going to report it. We're going to cover it. We're going to talk to him about it. That doesn't preclude us from doing that. I'm just observing it would be a surprise. But hey, let's see how he does going forward. And I bring up the mayor-elect because this is a community that wants to kind of position itself, stylize itself as an arts community. But what that means is different to different people. It's different to different people in government or in the community. Do you think we're an arts town? And what does that mean you need, if so, from elected leaders?
There have been a number of studies that have shown that Rochester has some of the highest number of artists per capita, that Rochester has the highest number of non-for-profit arts organizations. You know, that one may or may not be true, but everything that we hear and talk about talks about Rochester as an arts city. What we need from our elected officials is the capital. Each organization needs the capital to feel secure that their artistic vision can be propagated is probably isn't the best word, can be carried forward in perpetuity. You know, there's a lot of money out there for nonprofit organizations, but it's not being doled out equitably. And what we want is for it to be doled out equitably. And I know there's a lot of conversations going on about that now. The next step is to get the money into people's hands so that they can do the things they need to do with those funds.
The critics always just say, well, go make money on your own. Don't rely on government. It's hard in the arts world, isn't it?
Every organization, for profit or nonprofit, relies on the government. If we wanted to have Amazon here, Amazon wouldn't come here unless the government said you don't have to pay taxes.
That's right.
So, I mean, even one of the richest companies in the world needs and wants to have the government involved.
I know. It's hard times for Jeff Bezos, man.
Oh, well.
You and I don't know how hard it could be.
It's, you know, what can I say? He can only go up into space once or twice a year.
Yeah, I know. It's tough times. Bill Ferguson is the executive director of Garth Fagan Dance, and they're very excited to tell you about what's coming up most immediately, December 2nd through the 5th. What's happening?
December 2nd through the 5th, we are having our 50th anniversary season at the theater at Innovation Square. Opening night, December 2nd at 7:30. You'll see Prelude. You'll see Garth's epic work about Frederick Douglass, the North Star. And I got to give kudos to Carvin Eisen. Excuse me. Carvin Eisen, a professor at Brockport University, general manager and director at RCTV, for his work for Frederick Douglass and for all the Frederick Douglass statues that you see in our city, and the work that he did to get our airport called the Frederick Douglass Greater Rochester International Airport. Kudos to Carvin for that. And I thank Carvin because he also made it possible for Garth Fagan Dance to acquire our own Frederick Douglass statue, which will travel with us to Los Angeles in April when we perform in Los Angeles.
You're bringing the statue?
We're bringing the statue.
Is it involved in the performance?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen the North Star.
Shame on you.
Well, I got time.
You got next week.
I got next week.
Next week, it'll be on every show.
When a company is doing a performance that honors a figure like Frederick Douglass, what are the right tones and notes to hit that feel appropriate, if that makes sense, Bill?
I don't know if I want to, if it's for me to choose the tones and notes to hit. Garth has created the piece.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows the standard of excellence and quality that Garth's dances have in them and portray. I think it would behoove everybody to come and see the dance and tell us what you think.
But this is, I think, a key part of this conversation for people who may feel pride that Garth Fagan Dance is Rochester's, you know, dance company. But if you haven't danced and if you don't fully feel like you understand it, there may be sometimes a bit of a barrier. Mm. And this is true in so many different things. We mentioned wine, food, and art, different kind of music. If people feel like they don't get it, sometimes they're afraid to engage with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that may be true for dance. So for the people who feel like they don't know if they'll get it, what do you want them to hear from you about, especially if they feel intimidated by it?
I think if you feel intimidated by it, it's like any fear. If you allow the fear to determine how you're going to behave, that fear will always control you. If you're intimidated by going to see the North Star at a Garth Fagan dance performance, I challenge you to come and see it and then determine if you like it or not, if you feel something about it or not.
But someone may say, Bill, I don't know if I'm feeling the right thing. Like, am I getting it right or wrong here? How should I interpret this? Am I right or wrong with this, you know?
Then I'd say talk about it. Talk about it. After every show, our dancers come out after every show and we talk with the audience about what the audience saw, what the audience liked. We're available at Garth Fagan Dance to talk about dance if people are interested in finding ways to be more comfortable with dance. Another way to be more comfortable with dance is to see more, do more. We have dance classes for everybody. Even Evan can come in and take a dance
class. I'm not flexible enough.
That's all right. We will adjust it for you. what I'm trying to say is, when we were children and there were things that we didn't understand, it did not stop us from moving forward. It did not stop us from jumping in that puddle. In our minds, we're like, when I jump through that puddle, I'm going to go all the way to China. And we really thought it, but it didn't stop us from doing it. So what I would say is there's a little fear of the unknown that comes with going into that. And as we mature and become adults, we don't want to make mistakes. We want to make less mistakes as we grow older because of what we have to do to correct our mistakes. I think the intellectual pursuit of enjoying, the intellectual pursuit of going to enjoy, to see a dance mm-hmm. that you're intimidated by will free you. And then the questions that you have are natural questions. Now, I feel something. What is it that I feel?
Yeah.
Do I feel that like I like it? Do I feel like I don't like it? Explore yourself. One of the things about dance is it causes you to investigate you. Investigate feelings that you never felt before. So they're unfamiliar to you and you're not sure what they mean. And then you have to frame those feelings so that you can say, yes, this is a good feeling or a bad feeling.
And when the performance is over, you can talk about it with the company.
You can talk about it with the company. You can talk about it with the choreographer.
How long you guys been doing that?
Oh, geez, since I've just joined the company, since before I joined the company in 1989.
So close to the beginning. I mean, way back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's one of the things that Garth has always wanted people to know, that, you know, there's a saying that just dance, dear. You know, dancers are some of the most intelligent people in the world, because when you're dancing, you're navigating space, time, and space and time with music too. And you have to be able to direct your body in a qualitative way. That's very, it's like gymnastics, but a step above. I'm going to get in trouble with this because gymnastics is a very difficult field, and it's a highly technical field. The thing that dance does is highly technical. To do Fagan technique, the rigor of it, there have been some people who have been have all sorts of facility, put the leg all up in the air, can turn 12 million times, but they come and take 3 days of Gaukart Fagan technique, they don't want to dance with us. The rigor is just too much.
Huh.
So there's got to be a level of dedication to being to working towards perfection. I took a little, little curvy there.
See, but I love that, but I also want to say, I think it is so important that the company does this talk back after these performances, because maybe similar to the RPO, if there's this mystique about something,
mm-hmm.
it's going to draw some people in, but it's going to keep some people convinced that, well, that's above me. I can't do this. And that shouldn't exist when you can talk directly to the performers. And there's not a test. There's not a quiz on, did you get the right thing out of this?
Mm-hmm.
Although I will say, Bill, I'm always curious to know when an artist creates something. Take a painting. You can go see it at the Mag, and 10 people can look at this painting, and they may all have a different view of what the artist is trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might say, well, this is clear as day, and they're all roughly in the same place. It kind of depends on the work. Some are very clear, and some are more open for interpretation. Is it your sense that whether it's PJ or whether it was Garth's piece or others, this is an artist that is trying to say a specific thing and the audience may or may not perceive it that way? Or is it up to the interpretation of the audience to feel it and see it and kind of interpret in their own way?
As an artist myself, there are times when there's things that I want to express. There are things that I want to express through movement,
sure.
through sculpture, through whatever. But one of the things as an artist is once you express it, you sort of have to let it go. You have to let it go.
It's out in the world, right?
it's out in the world. And if somebody feels good about it, that's just as valid as if somebody feels bad about it, because they have that, they're in that real place with it. I know Garth has spoken many times about his work as being impressionistic, but I know how hard Garth works on his choreography and how hard he works to have the way a couple moves together mean this in his mind. And I think the challenge for him as a choreographer is to communicate his ideas through movement and then have the language of dance speak to the audience, mm-hmm. and speak to the audience with such clarity that they understand what he was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but in the same voice, I'll say, as many different people as there are on this world, there is as many different understandings of a view of a thing. That's one of the reasons why we're having such difficulty as a society now, is because when I say that's scalloped, your definition of scallop may be completely different than mine, but from where you're coming from, it's totally true. It's totally factual and it's right.
Why do we struggle? Because you're right. I mean, there is this disconnect that we feel like, well, I watched this news event and it made me angry. You watched this news event and it gave you pride. I saw this story and I thought it was a bad thing. You saw the same thing and you thought it was a good thing. You thought the sky was blue today. I thought it was, you know, a little off, you know, sort of in a gray.
Mm-hmm.
But then we fight about it. You know, we get angry instead of trying to work together and say, that's interesting. Bill Ferguson we watched the same thing and you got something totally different. I want to understand that first. Lately, it doesn't seem like we want to understand it. We just want to jump to anger.
I think part of it is we want to jump to anger. I think part of it is we feel as though the person who we're communicating with isn't listening to us. There's a place there. And we're going in some deep water here, Evan.
It's okay.
We're going in some deep water here. There's a place there where you have to decide. It's like with kids. Okay, you have your children. Your children. There are some things with your children. No. No, you are not doing that. I don't care. You can cry, fall down on the floor. We could be at Wegmans. Go ahead, do your temper tantrum. Do whatever you're going to do. We are not going to do that. And then there are some things where you're like, no, I'm not fighting that fight today. We have to choose when we're going to fight a fight. Not every disagreement is a fight. Because I believe something and you believe something different does not mean that we have to fight about it. Because I believe the marker is blue and you believe the marker is black, doesn't mean that we don't both enjoy a wonderful Saint-Emilion, you know? So I think we need, instead of living where our differences are, we need to find our similarities too. Because that's going to be the place where we're going to find peace to be able to come to an understanding about our differences.
This is all out of conversations about dance. Do you see how powerful Garth Fagan dance is? Executive Director Bill
Ferguson. Darn tootin'.
Bill Ferguson is here. And if I'll put my student hat on, you can tell me if I'm in the ballpark then. It sounds to me like a lot of the time a choreographer, an artist, will be saying something. They will be saying something with a piece of dance. But if you and the audience perceive it a different way, okay, cool, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Yes. That doesn't mean you flunked or you failed or
right.
You shouldn't be there. It means, oh, okay, interesting. You saw this a different way. Let's hear why. And how did it make you feel? And did you feel differently than the person sitting next to you? That's not right or wrong per se.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
It's interesting. There was a critic who passed away many years ago, Michael Allen Kriegsman from Washington Post. And this man could write about anything because he was able to articulate what he saw and what he felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of creative artists who wanted Michael Kriegsman to see their work because he would see things in there that they didn't see. Or they would see the things in there that they put in there, but explain it in such a way that would help them explain what they wanted to see. I think every artist, when they create something, you have to be totally committed to the creation of it. Else it's going to be sort of lukewarm or, you know, I think from 2000 until recently, I was the director and choreographer of the Garth Fagan Dance Student Ensemble. One of my jobs was to create a dance piece for the kids every year. So some years I'd create a dance piece where it was wonderful, wonderful, everybody loved it, but I was sort of like, I didn't really like it. But then I would create a dance piece that in the midst of creating it, I get nervous. I was like, should I do that? Should I make that step as a choreographer? Should I move my choreography in that place? Those were the pieces for me that I found that more people were excited about because I got to a place with it where I had to make a commitment to it to go further. And I think one of the most beautiful things about any piece of art is that if it's finished, the artist made a commitment to take it from a thought to reality, to something tangible.
Beautiful. Bill Ferguson is here, and I want to remind you, you've got a chance to see these performances coming up December 2nd through the 5th at the new Downtown Theater at Innovation Square. That's on Clinton and Court and Chestnut, right in that area. Where do you get tickets, by the way?
GarthFaganDance.org. You can go right on our website. Right on the front page, as you go on our website, it'll say buy your tickets here. You can go in and purchase your seats. Everybody get your seats now. One of the wonderful things about the Theater Innovation Square is intimate, but in the same voice, there's not as much space as there is at Nazareth. So there's not going to be, if you don't get your tickets now, when we might have to come back for another season, which we're planning on doing next year.
But you might as well go now, December 2nd through the 5th. They'd love to see you there. So when you look ahead then, Bill, what's on the calendar now that you're, I mean, do you want to break any news about what you're doing in 2022? Are there other things on the calendar you want people to know about?
Let me see. What we're doing in 2022, of course, we're doing a Mayor's Inaugural Ball. We have our annual Martin Luther King Jr. Day classes at our studio at 50 Chestnut Street. We'll have our annual Evening of Duets, Valentine's Day performances on February 12th next year. Then right after that, we are planning on going to the University of Connecticut and performing in Storrs, Connecticut. Then end of March, beginning of April, we're planning a spring season, a short spring season at the Innovation Square, at the Theater Innovation Square. That'll be part of a new subscription series that we're working on, which will include some conversations with Garth. I don't know if you recall Conversations with Garth, although Garth may not be at all the conversations. But and then April, we go to Los Angeles, and then we'll be carrying our Frederick Douglass, the North Star there. Then in late April, we'll be at the Egg in Albany. And then we're looking at some outdoor performances in Wyoming County and performances at the Orpheum Performing Arts Center in Tannersville, New York, in June.
So you got a lot coming up here.
We got a lot coming up.
And I noticed on the website that you're looking for more men. Audition for a full-time salaried position, hiring male dancers. Are men
dancers
harder to find right now?
Men are harder to find. Men at the level that we need them. Because Garfagan Dance is a professional dance company. There's a difference between a university dancer, a university level dancer, and a professional dancer. Because you have to come in and you have to learn Fagan technique. And you have to be dedicated to that. And you have to have the facility, the spirit, and the character to learn it. So we need some people who are willing to, come to Rochester to learn to dance our way.
Men in particular. But
men in particular.
A few good men.
Yes.
Is what you need. How many are in the company now?
We have 10 dancers in the company, including Norwood Pennywell, who's still dancing, Natalie Rogers Cropper, who's still dancing, Norwood Pennywell still dancing after 42 years. Natalie Rogers Cropper still dancing after 32 years. And of course, the invincible Steve Humphrey, who's been dancing since that November 15th performance in 1970. He'll be performing this year too.
Invincible.
Invincible. Indestructible.
That's 51 years.
51 years Steve has been performing. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's really amazing to see how he transforms himself and the movement that he's done for years to accommodate where he is now as a dancer.
I would love to talk to him about how he keeps his body, you know, in
there are
in
a lot
shape,
of people,
right?
You're in line for that one, Evan.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people wondering how Steve, as an almost 70-year-old man, looks 45.
I was for a while. I've been impressed with Tom Brady still playing football, but he's no Steve Humphrey.
No, he is not. He is not.
when you danced for how long?
I danced for 18 years.
Okay.
19 years, 19-ish.
Okay. And when you were done, did you know you were done? Was it injury? Was it just life decision?
I sort of knew I was done. My wife, Nicolette DePass, now Nicolette Ferguson, who will be a guest artist at our season this year. We had a deal. We had a 5-year plan. We met about 3 years into being together. We said, if we're together for another 2 years, we'll get married. Then we said, okay, we got married together for another 5 years, we'll buy a house. So we kept on our plan. So about the time that I retired, I had had four knee surgeries. Nobody knew. I know your eyebrows are raised now. I had had four knee surgeries.
Both knees?
Both knees.
Yeah.
And I was working on my fifth one. And I told my wife, we both decided that if I had had one more knee surgery, which I could have danced after, I just want everybody to know, I could have danced after, our deal was that I would move out of the dance floor so that we could start making plans for a family.
Did you have another injury?
I had another injury.
Okay, you had another injury. Right. Yeah. Yeah. How common are injuries for dancers?
Major injuries like the one I had is not very common, but little things are very common. I think for most athletes, there's a little chronic thing that you generally work through.
If you watch a Garth Fagan performance, it hurts to watch some of this stuff. You know, and I have the flexibility. If you had to design a dance for me, you'd have to call it the crowbar. That's the flexibility I have, roughly a crowbar.
The beauty of Garth Fagan as a choreographer, and one of the things that really helped me as a dancer, is Garth would push you as a dancer with his choreography, but he would push you in places where you needed to grow. So he'd help you strengthen your weaknesses, and he would bolster your strengths.
I got no strengths.
Okay.
Areas I have to grow everywhere.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you come to see us at December 2nd through the 5th at Innovation Square, and maybe when you come to our Evening of Duets, and maybe when you come to our Martin Luther King Day classes, come to the adult class. I'm going to challenge you now, Evan. Come to our adult class.
Are you trying to kill me?
Oh, no, you'll have a great time. You'll have a great time.
What, Rob? What is engineer Rob Braden? Yeah, so Rob says there's a video of Bill dancing somewhere. He says, you're the MJ of dance, seriously an amazing performer.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I worked very hard to get all my Fagan letters in when I became a Fagan dancer. I was dedicated to Fagan technique because I understood how special it was, and that I always wanted to do something that nobody else had done. And when I joined Garth Fagan Dance, I wasn't going to join anybody's company because I was going to do my own thing. And I saw what Garth was doing, so I said, well, maybe I'll learn something from him for a couple years. It's been 32 years, and I'm still learning.
Can you still, if you had to bust it out, could you still do it?
I might be able to do one or two things. I might be able
it's
to do one
stamina,
or two.
It's the stamina, probably?
Oh, the stamina definitely gone.
I mean, that's...
Stamina's gone.
That's so big, isn't it?
It's the stamina and... The rigor of doing it every day so that your chops are right. It's like playing a saxophone or a trumpet or a violin. Yeah. If you don't practice it in your head, you're like, oh yeah, I got that. But you go out there and your body's not, you know. I've been watching the new company work, and PJ's been doing some wonderful work with them, like with the Dreamer that's going to be performed at the Innovation Theater with music by Baljinder Sikkhon, which we did. Who is an Eastman School graduate. When I saw PJ doing some of that music, I really wanted some of that movement. I really wanted to try it because it just looked like it felt good to do. But between my brain and my body, there's a big disconnect because I haven't danced in, I don't know, really danced like that in 10 years, 15 years.
I'm not going to say who sent the text, but someone says, please record your dance moves, Evan. If you've ever seen somebody get hit by lightning in a phone booth, that's roughly what it looks like. It's not, you don't want that. But I am open to the idea of classes being good for everybody. How many people you serve with classes now?
Well,
has the pandemic slowed it down?
Pandemic slowed it down. We had to we had 3- and 4-year-old classes that we generally have classes on Saturdays for kids. We have a 3- and 4-year-old class that we do from 9:15 to 10. 5- to 7-year-old class that we do from 10 to 11, and an 8- to 12-year-old class that we do from 11 to 12:15. We suspended our children's theater, 3- and 4-year-old classes, because the 3- and 4-year-olds aren't really good about keeping their masks on and those kind of things. And we wanted Garth Fagan Dance to be a place where parents and kids felt safe to dance. So we'll probably, as soon as things chill out again, as soon as the COVID rates go down, it looks like there's going to be, there's a little cycle where as we get into spring and summer, things, COVID rates drop and we'll do more things with more kids.
Okay.
But we're still having our public classes on Saturdays and Tuesdays and Thursdays.
For adults too?
For adults too. We have adults classes on Saturdays. So when you bring your 11-year-old, your 8 to 12-year-old to class on Saturday, there's an adult class happening at the same time in a studio right across the hall for adult people who enjoy dance, from beginner to professional.
Denise wants to know, can you ask if they have true adult beginner classes? If they do, I'll take one. If you do, Evan, that's from Denise. So, but she's saying true beginner, no experience.
True beginner.
That's a yes.
Yes.
Okay. How many people do you have in those programs?
We have right now in our Tuesday morning classes, we have about rotating between 6 and 4 adult dancers, and most of them are pretty much beginners. And unfortunately, we can't have a lot of people in the space due to COVID restriction. So we could probably, I think we're allowed to have 9 people in our small studio at one time, including the instructor.
Again, the website to learn more?
Garfagandance.org.
CT writes, dance, like music, should not be over-intellectualized. If you are open to it and let it in, then what you feel is what it means.
That's exactly right. CT is our original lighting designer. Many of the pieces that you see at Garfagan Dance were created by CT. Sat down next to him at the table with Garth a number of years. And CT is one of the few people who, when Garth did a dance, CT understood what Garth wanted light-wise. And if CT didn't get it, Garth would say, CT do this, CT did that. But more often than not, the two went together like two sides of a coin.
Stefan says, my experience at the Fagan show shows I have attended is less about a literal understanding and more about feeling, a sense of discovery. The movement itself is thrilling, emotional, and I spend a lot of time afterwards just absorbing the piece, and I always feel enriched by the whole experience. We are so fortunate to have this company in our community, accessible to us and welcoming to us. That's from Stefan.
Thank you, Stefan. Thank you. And I will say our community has proved that. This just recently, on November 15th, we initiated a matching funds campaign, of which, once again, Garfagan was the major stakeholder, major supporter of that. We raised $50,000 for a $50,000 match, and we have met our match. So but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't continue to support Garfagan Dance. We got Rock the Day coming up, and every penny that comes to Garfagan Dance is spent in an intelligent, thoughtful, meaningful way.
Michael says, I first saw the bottom of the bucket butt dance company at Kearney Auditorium at St. John Fisher College in late 72 or early 73.
Wow.
And I have been a fan ever since.
Thank you.
That's close to 50 years.
That's close to 72. That's what, 48?
That was 1970. That was 2 years in, yeah.
48 years. Don't ask any of us, either of us to do
math. We promised there was no math. Donna says, great discussion today with Bill Ferguson. Just wanted to mention I saw Garth Fagan dance way back when it was called Bottom of the Bucket Butt Dance Company. They came to Denonville Middle School in Penfield, which has since closed. I had never seen a dance company perform live, and it was riveting. I have never forgotten it. That's Donna in Fairport. How often do you hear people say, this was my first time, I've never seen anything like that?
Often, but not often enough. And I'd love to hear more people say it December 2nd through 5th at the Innovations, at the new theater at Innovation Square. I got to say that Carl Stabnow and Natalie Fuller have done a really wonderful job renovating that space, and they've been really good to Garfagan Dance. And I'm very happy to be working with both of them.
Last minute, when Garfagan Dance turns 100,
mm-hmm.
What do you hope the company's doing?
When Garfagan Dance turns 100, I hope the company is in a place where not only the company doesn't have to worry, where the company is perpetually sustained by its activities, but its activities will help other artistic organizations and other organizations in Rochester, New York State, and around the world to reach towards their dreams.
Still dancing.
Still dancing.
Still doing it.
That's right.
They've got a lot coming up here. It's an ambitious launch of performances at the new Downtown Theater at Innovation Square. It's right downtown, right across from... Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
I also must not... I must make sure that I mention our relationship with RIT and TID. We signed a partnership, a memorandum of understanding with them. We started teaching classes with RIT and TID, and we have plans to expand the creative processes of Garth Fagan Dance and share them with every aspect of the school.
Beautiful stuff. One more time, your website, Bill Ferguson.
GarthFaganDance.org, December 2nd through the 5th at the theater at Innovation Square. Come check us out. You'll enjoy it. It'll be the best thing you've seen all year.
Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Same to you, Evan. Thank you.
That is the great Bill Ferguson, the executive director there. And by the way, anybody else from the company who's listening this hour, it is a whole team there. Bill, as great as he is always giving credit to the whole team, and it's an amazing team there. So to everyone at Garth Fagan Dance, thanks for what you do. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone listening. Rob, going to be eating turkey tomorrow. No, not really a turkey guy. Maybe. Emery Stein, going to be crushing those mashed potatoes. I will be crushing the stuffing, and I hope all of you have a wonderful day surrounded by love. We'll talk to you next week.